I'm going to ask you to open up to Ephesians. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1 this morning. I think I'm going to go through the whole book of Ephesians in the next month or so, because I believe it's the Father's good pleasure, first of all, to remind us, those who have put their faith in Him, who have trusted in Him, to remind us, maybe we've forgotten, of everything He has provided for us in Christ, but also to invite others into His good pleasure, His will. When I say that today, His good pleasure, what I mean is His will, because it's the Father's good pleasure to reveal Himself to you, to the world. And that's what I want to look at this morning as we look at Ephesians 1, because Paul here really is encouraging a church that is in the midst of a very, very corrupt, licentious society, where basically the worship of that town is a temple devoted to a goddess of love, of sex, where there's harlotry and all kinds of things going on, all kinds of depravity. It's also a port. There's much wealth there, so people are into, you know, just the things of this world. Kind of reminds you of our society today that we live in. And Paul is writing to them, and you know, here's the other thing. They're Gentiles, non-Jews who have come to the faith, and maybe they're feeling like second-class citizens. You know, because the Jews were God's chosen, and now the gospel has come, Jesus has come, and now it's for everybody. And God is revealing this, and He sends out the Apostle Paul to testify, to proclaim the gospel, the good news, to aliens, those who were not the people of God. And I don't know, maybe they're struggling like that with that. Maybe they're feeling like second-class citizens when they're first-class citizens of heaven. Sometimes we can feel that way, I think, when we look at ourselves, when we look at our shortcomings, we feel like second-class citizens. Well, I want to remind you today of the Father's good pleasure, the Father's will for you through the gospel. That's what Paul is doing here. He's reminding them basically of what is theirs through Christ, but also what God wants to do in them and through them. So it's a message of remembrance, but it's also a message of God's purpose for our lives and for His church, for His people. I'm just going to pray before I read this passage. Lord, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray today that You would open up Your word. I pray, God, You would open up our understanding to receive Your word in meekness, because Your word is able to save our souls. I thank You today that Your desire to reveal Yourself, it's Your good pleasure to manifest Yourself, to make Yourself known. So God, I do pray You would make Yourself known today. You would reveal Your will, the mystery of Your will, the mystery of the gospel. God, reveal it to our hearts. Open it up in a way maybe we haven't seen it, or for those that have never seen it, God, open up the understanding to know the things You're wanting us to know, Lord. And I thank You, God. It's Your heart. It's Your will. It's Your good pleasure to do that. So, God, I ask this according to Your will. And You said if we ask anything according to Your will, it's done, Lord. So I thank You. You want this more than I do. That's why You sent Your Son to die on a cross for us, so that Your glory would be revealed. You would make Yourself manifest, reveal Yourself to humankind. So God, I pray You would do that as we look at Your word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul begins with a greeting, proclaiming who he is. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from our God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul says, I am an apostle by the will of God, what he is saying basically is, I am what I am because of who God is. There's no claim I can make for myself, for where God has taken me, for how God has used my life, for God, what God has done in my life. I am what I am by the will of God. All of us really are what we are. If we have put our faith in Him, if we have received His mercy, it's because of Him. It's by His will, it's by His decree that we are what we are. And Paul is just constantly, I don't know if he needed to remind himself, but maybe he's reminding himself, but he's also letting them know. The people he's ministering to, listen, I'm nobody. Whatever I am, whatever you think I am, it's all by the will of God. And I come to you, I speak to you by His will. And now he's addressing the saints who were there at Ephesus. There's a church there that's been birthed in Ephesus, and he's addressing them. But also the faithful in Christ Jesus. All Christians, all true Christians are saints. That doesn't make us special people. You understand that, right? All that means is God has made us His own. God has caused us to be holy, separated unto Him, set apart. That's all that means. It's an act of God. It says nothing about our greatness or anything wonderful about us. It simply declares what God has done. Set us apart, made us holy, made us a dwelling place for Him. Saints, you think about the temple, which had been holy, not because it was great, this great, magnificent building, or it cost so much to build. That's not what made the temple great. What made the temple great was God's presence, and because God was there. And that's really what we are when God calls us saints. We're His temple. We're now His dwelling place. And the only greatness there is Him inside of us. Saints and the faithful, those that have trust, put their trust in Him. Those who have put their faith, those who are loyal to Him, those who have made an allegiance with Him. In other words, they've come into agreement with God. They've simply come into agreement with God and they have surrendered their lives to Him. Because without obedience, there is no faith. If you believe something, you act on it. So they're also obedient. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, those He's addressing, with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame before Him in love. Having predestined us, in other words, God determined before we even had a thought of Him. He determined, predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. And that's what I want to call my message this morning. The Father's good pleasure. The Father's good pleasure. It's Father's Day today. And I want to proclaim my Heavenly Father's good pleasure, His will towards us in Christ Jesus. To the praise of the glory of His grace by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. So we need to understand our Heavenly Father wants us to know what we have through Him and by Him. And what we are to be through Him and by Him. We need to understand what we have through His will. It's His will. It's the good pleasure of the Father to give us everything we need. Everything. In 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, His divine power, His divine power, God's power, the same power that speaks into nothing and creates something. You understand, man can't do that. Man does not have the power to create something from nothing. That's why the whole Darwin theory or the whole Big Bang theory is ridiculous. You can't make something out of nothing, but God can. He has the power to do that. Man can manipulate and use what God has created to make things, but really, he doesn't have the power to create from nothing. So when God speaks by His power, a universe appears. Laws that govern it. His power sustains everything in this world, the universe, the planets, your life. It's His power working in everything. That's the only reason why we're here. It's by His divine power that gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So for this life and for eternal life, for the purpose of God, for godliness, for God's plan and purpose in our lives spiritually, which we'll see in a moment. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In Psalm 103, it says it this way, "Bless the Lord! Bless the Lord! And forget not all of His benefits." Bless the Lord. It's good to do that. Bless the Lord. Why? Why should I bless the Lord? Psalm 103 tells me why. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's what Paul's saying in the beginning. I am what I am by the will of God. Bless the Lord. You see it in the writings of Paul over and over and over again. Bless the Lord. Testifying of what God has done to him. We need to remind ourselves of that. We need to remind ourselves constantly, daily, moment by moment. Bless the Lord. Forget not all of His benefits. Forget not all He has done for you through Christ. Bless the Lord. Do you know what that will do for your soul? You're telling your soul, soul, bless the Lord. When your soul is cast down, tell your soul, bless the Lord. Remember, don't forget His benefits. Don't forget what God has done for you. Don't forget what His will is for you. Bless the Lord. Because the Father delights to give good gifts to His children. What are those spiritual blessings? I know for me, I lived under the curse of death and sin. And God has set me free from that. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's made me a new creature in Christ. My old man was crucified, and behold, God has made all things new. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We've been given gifts, various operations of the Holy Spirit. Empowerment to live the Christian life. Empowerment to testify, to glorify His name. Empowerment to minister the love of God to souls. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He doesn't tell me to go. He equips me, empowers me. He gives me His Holy Spirit. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. He dwells within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I'm not alone. Bless the Lord. God is with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I have an inheritance in Christ reserved in heaven for me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's where my hope is. God's given me a living hope. And it's all to the praise of His glory and grace. You understand? It has nothing to do with my merit or anything I've done. It's all to the praise and the glory of His grace. Because I am what I am by the will of God. You understand? I didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. It's all to the praise and glory of His grace in the face of Jesus Christ that He bestowed upon us. The will of the Father is that we would be reconciled and accepted in the Beloved. That's why Jesus came. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Colossians 1, verse 19 says, "It pleased the Father." This was His good pleasure. It pleased the Father that in Him, Jesus, all the fullness should dwell and by Him reconcile all things. In other words, make peace. Make a way, make a bridge back to God. Whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. It was God's will, it was God's good purpose to make peace with you through the blood of the cross. When you were His enemy, while you were still His enemy, God made peace through the work of the cross, through His blood. You, who were alienated, who were enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He is reconciled in the body of His flesh. Through death to present you holy and blameless. Do you understand what that is saying? I think if we understood the holiness of God, we would understand a little more the depth of that. That's what the angels, like, they don't even comprehend it. They want to look into how glorious our salvation really is. How God could take these vile creatures of earth and somehow make them holy. To where we can stand in His unapproachable light. They want to look into it. It's glorious what God has done for us. And it's absolutely true. Absolutely true. If you indeed continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast. In other words, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep remembering, keep reminding yourself what He did. Get your eyes on Him because He's the author and finisher of your faith. He's the author of it and He's finisher of it. Get your eyes on Jesus. Grounded, steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Don't get moved away from the hope of the gospel, this glorious salvation. Don't let things distract you. Don't let life's problems, don't let other people, don't just let the trials of this life distract you, make you forget what God has done for you. Message of the gospel. Because it's glorious. which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, which I, Paul, became a minister. I, Jeff, have become a minister of this gospel, and it's glorious. We were enemies. I was God's enemy. I was at odds with God. And he came to me. He gave me reconciliation through what Jesus did. He made the first and only possible move. You understand that? It was his good pleasure to make the first and only possible move for you to have hope. No one can be reconciled. No one can be saved from the wrath to come except through what Jesus did on the cross. There's no other way. But God has made a way. That's what reconciliation is. It's an ending of the conflict. It's the renewing of a friendly relationship between two people. Everything we have is because of his good pleasure, because of his will. It goes on in verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made abound towards us in all wisdom and all prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. There it is. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. It came from his heart. You understand that? The gospel, Jesus dying on a cross, it's from God's own heart. It came from himself. It didn't come from outside counsel or something. It came from God's heart because it's what he is. God is love. None of us can say that. I can't say Jeff is love. That would just be absurd. Because Jeff is the opposite of love. She's laughing at me. It's true. The Bible says we wouldn't know love unless God didn't love us first. We have such a twisted, deformed idea of what love is because there's always self. There's always something in it for ourselves, even when we love people. But God is agape. God's love in the Greek, agape, is unconditional. In other words, he doesn't look for anything in return. He's constantly giving. He's a giver. He's a blesser. He gives life to the point of what Jesus suffered on the cross. I try to tell people, God understands the hurt, the things you've been through, the pain, the suffering. I can't say that, you know, when someone's sharing maybe their story or you hear about what someone's went through. You know, I've learned to be careful by saying, oh, I understand. No, I really don't. But Jesus does. Jesus identified with every temptation, every pain, every sorrow. He took it all upon himself. And he did it so that he could minister it back to you, so he could heal you. Because it's by his stripes we're healed. He did it for you. There was nothing in it for God. You understand that? I mean, I think about it. If I was God and I created a world and I put beings on and they rebelled against me, I'd just get rid of them and I'd do it all over again. Wouldn't you? You know, then after the flood, you know, there's been many times humanity would have been wiped out if I was God. I would. I would just say, okay, I'm done. You're done. Be gone. But God, who is rich in love and mercy, but God. See, God doesn't desire that any would perish. His heart waits. It goes to endless degrees for anyone to receive the mercy he's wanting to give to them. That's what you see on the cross. When you see Jesus, when you read about Jesus and what he went through, that's God crying out to humanity, come to me, come to me. Give me your wretchedness. Give me your nakedness. Give me your blindness. Give me your hurt. Give me everything. And I'll give you everything I am. That's the promise in those verses. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That's his promise. And it's all in verse 12. It says, it's all should be to the praise of his glory. You understand? That's why you're still here. You understand that's what this church is all about? It's all to the praise of his glory. It's all so that people can know God because of the praise and the glory that comes forth from our lives, which should come from our lives. And that's really what he's wanting to do for us. Verses 6 and verse 12 says it twice, a little differently. In verse 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. And in verse 12, it says, just basically, for those who trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In other words, to make manifest, to make known the grace of God in the earth. That's why Paul was constantly sharing his testimony, constantly saying, I am what I am because of the will of God. I was the chief of sinners. I was the worst of the worst. But God had mercy on me. God intervened in my life. I was going to kill Christians, and God intervened in my life. It was by his will. It was by his calling on my life. I was bent on going in my own way, but God intervened in my life. It's all to the praise and glory of his grace and his name. Everything we are is according to his good pleasure. Do you understand that? Just the fact that you're breathing, you should give praise and glory to his name. Just the fact that you're breathing. Christians have been destined and appointed to live for the praise of his glory. That's his good pleasure for you. So that through our lives, his glory will be revealed to the world. What is God's glory? What is God's glory? That word's used many times in Scripture. But basically, it's God himself manifesting himself in different ways through different things. It's the glory of God. It's who he is being revealed. The problem with the world is that it doesn't know God. That's what's wrong with the world. It doesn't know God. Their eyes are blind. The Bible says that the God of this age has blinded their eyes. They don't know God. I hear sometimes politicians quoting scriptures and, you know, people quoting God and saying things about God, but they don't know God. They don't know God. They can speak things maybe he said. They can use maybe some things he said, sometimes for their own agenda, sad to say, but they're without God. They're blind. They can't see. And a lot of times you can hear it because of how they use the scriptures. They're blind. But I was blind. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to be blind. I know what it's like to be out there in the world groping, looking for something to satisfy my heart, going from one thing to another, feeling hopeless inside, trying to cover it, trying to distract myself from the reality of what I was living in inside, the hopelessness. It's been sad to read in the news, the so many suicides among these celebrities, hanging themselves people we would look at and maybe admire, jet-setting around the world, and money and fame and fortune, hanging themselves because they don't know God. They don't know why they're here. They really don't have a purpose. And I think when they get to a certain place and maybe they gain, you know, the things they thought would somehow bring purpose and fulfillment in their life, they realize it's empty. Where do you go from there? Except despair and hopelessness. And then the enemy is there. The destroyer, the one who comes to kill and destroy, whispering, yeah, why don't you just end it? It would just be better if you weren't here. And because they don't know God, because they don't know, they don't understand their Creator, who He is, what they were made for, what their true purpose in life is, they despair to the point of killing themselves. And it's happening every moment. That's why we should be like Paul. If our eyes have truly been opened, we have truly embraced the gospel, we should be like Paul. We should be, first of all, caught up in wonder of who he is, the wonder of his mercy, his grace, his relationship that I can have with God, and just wanting to be with him and singing songs like, come, Lord Jesus, and wanting to be taken up to heaven and be with him for all eternity, but also torn between that with the souls around us while we're still here, just a burden in our hearts to reveal Christ to these people that we walk around and see that are hopeless and empty and side, torn between those two things. That should be our reality. If we've truly seen, if we've truly had our understanding opened up to the hope of the gospel. Paul, you again, hear that in his writings. He's torn. And it doesn't matter what he goes through, but he understands actually it's through his sufferings, it's through him dying daily, God is manifested. People know God because they see God's grace, and it's all to the praise and the honor and glory of God. In all the seeking and wanderings people go through, all the endeavors to discover truth, they don't know God. But the glory of God is to reveal himself, to show the world what he's really like. What he's really like. Not what they've heard, not what we've made him to be, but what he's really like. And when the works of God and nature, the nature of God are demonstrated through us, through his church, he's glorified. He's glorified to a lost and dying world. In 2 Corinthians, it says, for it is God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the Father's good pleasure for you. So I want to ask you a question. Have you trusted in him fully? Because it says in verse 13, in him you also trusted. You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Do you understand that? Do you know what that means for you? Have you experienced that? In other words, have you heard the gospel, the real gospel? Have you truly responded? Can you remember what it's like to have your sins forgiven, to know, to understand that God has made peace with you? I remember that. I still experience that because I still have times where my stubbornness and my sin separates from me, and I have to constantly be repenting, and I have to constantly be washed in the blood. There is an understanding of that, a knowing of that. Because when that happens, the Holy Spirit comes, and He comes to dwell in you, and He bears witness to the truth of what's happened to you. And then you can't help to go and praise and glory and honor and tell people what's happened to you. And there's something in you now, and it's called the living hope that's described in 1 Peter 1. Even though we lose sight of it, I lose sight of it sometimes, I get bogged down, I get, you know, the cares of this life, the different things coming up. But there's the Holy Spirit's in me. God did it. You see, it's hard to explain that to somebody because it's a knowing. It's God that opens up your heart and God that reveals those things to you. But there's a whole. I know it's real. It's true. I'm going to eternity with God. That is real to me. So even though it gets hard here, that's why Paul says I can be hard, pressed down, crushed, perplexed, but I'm not down. I'm not down because I know it's not over. Even though I suffer light afflictions, I know there's going to be a glory that's going to be revealed. That's what gets me through life. I'm not other like other people without hope. Doesn't mean I don't struggle at times. It doesn't mean there's times I want to give up because I've lost sight. But there's something in me that keeps me going. And it's the Spirit of God. And you know what it is? It's the guarantee. It's the down payment God's made on my life. And He lets me know, you're mine. You're mine. And if you don't know that, without a shadow of a doubt, if you don't know that, you need to examine your faith. You need to examine if you've truly trusted in Christ. If you've truly given your heart and your life to Him. I want to give you the gospel in a nutshell. Because the gospel is glorious. This is what we're talking about, really. But I think so many times we don't understand what the gospel is. It's the good news. It's what God did for us through Christ. It's what's being described here in Ephesians 1. It starts in Genesis. And if you want, write these scriptures down. And when you go home, get over it yourself. Say, God, I need to know. I need to know the gospel. God, I need to know the good news. God, I need you to speak to me. I need you to shine light into my darkness. It starts in Genesis 1:27. In Genesis 2, 15 and 17, in Genesis 3, 1 through 7, where we see God made in God's own image, but man choosing to disobey God and man being separated from God. It starts there. It's bad. It starts bad. And in Romans 3, 23, we see man, because of that, subjected to death. That's why we see what we see in the world. There's nothing but death in this world. Everything dies. And it's because of what happened in the garden. Physically, spiritually, because all men have chosen to disobey, because the Bible says all have fallen short of the glory of God. There's nobody that's innocent. That's the bad news. And then in Leviticus, there's more bad news. God is holy, and God cannot dwell with sinners. They will be burned up in His presence because He's a holy God. But in Hebrews 9:22, we also see our lives are required because the life is in the blood, and blood is required because of sin. And then in Ephesians 1:7, we see the Father's good pleasure. Christ, who was God, who is God, the infinite God, paid for our sins with His life. He became the representative for all humanity. And in Romans 4, verses 2 through 10, we see that his sacrifice brings about our justification before God. His sacrifice, what he did, brings about our justification before God simply by believing that he paid for my debt in full. It's faith. It's by faith, trusting in what he did. 1 John 1, verse 9, we see God is faithful and just to forgive our sins when we confess them. That's our part. Agree with God. I'm guilty. God, I repent. God, forgive me. And God is faithful and just, and he will forgive all your sins. But you have to confess your sins. Okay? John chapter 1, verse 12, he gives us grace and he positions us as his children. And then in Ephesians 2, 7 through 9, we see grace, which is undeserved favor through faith, is given to us, and it's God's favor. It's only by his good pleasure. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, grace, which results in our guilty life, also declares us righteous before God. Praise the Lord. And in John 5, 24, we see we're no longer destined to death. We're no longer destined for punishment and death, separation from God. We are promised eternal life, to be with God forever in heaven, which is assured by us in 1 Corinthians 15 because Jesus rose from the dead. And in Philippians 1, 6, we see God continues to work to see that we become more and more like Jesus. See, the gospel transforms us, changes us. We become like him. And then in 2 Corinthians 1, 22 and Ephesians 1, 13, we see the Holy Spirit is given to us who believe as our helper, as our seal, our promise, our down payment, our guarantee for the day when we are called into God's kingdom. That's the gospel in a nutshell. I mean, I can preach an hour on the gospel and not exhaust what God has done for you and I. But you have to trust. You have to put your trust in him. Believing is trusting in. You have to surrender your vessel. You have to allow him to possess your temple. And if you will, he'll fill it with his Holy Spirit. That's how you will know you are his. I want to pray right now for anyone here. Because here's really what I want to say to you this morning. I shared a little bit in the beginning what happened Wednesday, and it just confirmed what I see God doing all over the world. He's calling his people. He's cleansing his bride. He's wooing his bride. In other words, there's an invitation going out from God. Because his desire is that his house would be full. And many have rejected him, but God's relentless. He wants his house full. So he's sending out messengers. The call's going out. The cry is going out to anyone that'll listen to come in. And it's the Father's good pleasure. He wants to give you everything. Everything you need for life, for godliness. Everything you're longing for inside, God has and wants to give to you. But you have to respond to the message. You have to respond to the gospel, which is free. It's free. Jesus paid for it with his blood. But you have to humble yourself, simply agree with God, and trust in him, and surrender your life to him. It doesn't come any other way. Because that's what believing means. It's not just a mental, oh yeah, I believe that. No, I believe the pilot can fly the plane, and that's why I get on the plane. I can say, oh, I believe he can fly, but I ain't getting on a plane. Yeah, I believe it. Yep. I've seen him fly before, but I ain't getting on the plane. That's what we do with God. I believe he's God. I believe he saved me, but I'm not giving him control of my life. Because I really don't trust him. I really don't believe what he says about himself. See, that's what believing means. It's just accepting what he says about himself. That's his good pleasure for you. So God is gathering. You understand? He's gathering. He's making his house full. You know why? So we could stay in here and have a nice little club and eat together and just, you know. No. Because he wants the people, first of all, that understand his good pleasure, that who understand their life isn't their own anymore, who understand what he wants to do and who are yielding, willing to yield, are ready to surrender and to let him simply do what he's wanting to do. And then go out as his body. Because see, just imagine this. Jesus is the head, we're his body, okay? You think Jesus is satisfied with just having an arm? He's not going to be satisfied, people, until he's got a full body with every member working together. We're not there yet. He's not satisfied. So he's inviting you to become part of his body so he can manifest his glory through your life and through his body, the church, out there, so that people that don't know him will see his glory through you. Jesus said, that's how they'll know I've come, by your love by one another, when the body is one in him and he's the head and he's manifesting himself through us. But we got to respond to the gospel, the pleasure of his goodwill. So, who here questions? I don't know. You know, I've heard the gospel my whole life, but it's not real to me. Or I know I've held back. I know I'm not responding to it the way he says I need to. Not the preacher, the Word of God. But I'm ready. I hear the invitation. I do. I hear it. The Spirit is speaking to me. I sense conviction. I do sense God tugging. I know what that's like. It's God. Why don't you just agree with him today? God wants to give you an opportunity today to just agree with him. Just repent of whatever it is you need to repent of. Sin in your life, stubbornness, self-will, whatever it is, just repent. Receive freely what he's done for you. He will cleanse you, but give him the rights to your life because his blood buys you. It purchases your life for his glory. So it's got to include all that. But if you want that today, I want to pray. And I'm going to make this easy today. You just stand up right where you're at and just say, I want to experience the gospel. I want to experience the Father's good pleasure in my life as a part of this body, and to be used to rescue hopeless souls for the glory of his praise. So I'm going to pray, and if you want that, Just, it's by faith. Just get your eyes off yourself. Remind yourself of what you've heard today from God, of who He is, what He's done for you. Get your eyes on Him, because if you look at yourself, it's impossible. He's done what you can't do. He will do what you can't do. But you got to put your trust in Him. You got to have faith in Him. You got to obey Him. Okay? So I'm going to pray, and if God is speaking to you, you stand up, and we're going to agree with God for you today. Okay? So, Lord, I thank you right now. And, Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning whose heart has been penetrated by the light of your gospel, by the truth of your word. Anyone here who senses the wooing of your Holy Spirit. God, I pray you will help them to simply respond to your invitation to come in and to be a part of your good pleasure, your will, your plan for their life and for how you want to use them in this body and for your glory, Lord. So God, I just ask right now, Lord, by your power, by your Holy Spirit, you would bring about in the hearts in this room that you're speaking to what only you can. A broken, contrite heart that sees their need to you, that comes and says, Lord, here I am. Lord, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me. I want to surrender. I want to give my life to you, what you deserve. I want you to be glorified through my life. Anyone here today, you want that. Just stand right now. Just stand up right now. You know you're not there. You know you're not there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you're sending out an invitation. And I pray for these precious souls that are saying yes to you today. I pray, Lord, first of all, you'll cleanse them, you'll wash them. I pray, God, that you'll fill them with the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that you'll reveal the truth to them. And I pray, oh God, that they will come into the pleasure of your goodwill for their lives. I pray, Lord, you will bring about what only you can in them and through them. And I want to pray the rest of this chapter for this church. Only God knows where you're at this morning, where I'm at. But I'm going to pray this in faith. I'm going to pray it just in the belief that you're all in your heart saying yes to Jesus. So therefore, verse 15, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your love for all the saints, I don't cease to give thanks for you. Lord, I thank you for the souls you're drawing to this body, Lord. And Lord, I want to make mention of them in my prayers this morning, that you, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to them, to you, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. God, make that real to every heart. What is the hope of their calling? What are the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints? Lord, I pray, God, we will stop limiting you. What is the exceeding greatness of your power towards us who believe. God, make that real to us. You're the God of the impossible, Lord. There's nothing too hard for you. God, help us to get our eyes on you, to trust you to do what's impossible. When we see the needs all around us, when we see the devastation, the drug addicts, the children without parents, Lord, the homes that are being ravished by sin, Lord, help us to see you, to know there's power from heaven to break the chains, to set the captives free, to heal the hearts of these children, to restore families. God, help us to believe you. Which you worked in Christ. You did it when you raised him from the dead and you seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. That every name is named not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he's put all things under his feet. Jesus, you have all authority. All things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. And Lord, I pray today you will be the head of this body. Lord, I pray you will bring every member, every sinew, every muscle, every cell together as you deem, according to your purpose, according to your will. That you may be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And that's my prayer, Lord. What a tremendous statement. Jesus Christ in all of his fullness to be seen in his body, which is the church. God, that is your good pleasure, and it's by your will. It's not by ours, Lord. And Lord, I thank you, you will not be satisfied until this body is complete. I thank you, God, the invitation has gone out. And I thank you, God, for the many hearts and many souls that will respond to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.